Life.
Dignity.
Security.
Freedom.
Freedom.
Respect.
Justice.
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 Equality.
Equality.
Remedy.
Protection.
Fairness.
Fair trial.
Favorites.
Right.
Well.
Peace.
Users.
Men.
It's my mistake, and let me make it good. I raised the wall, and I will be the one to knock it down.
Asylum,
identity,
family,
home,
conscience,
expression,
expression.
Expression,
expression,
participation,
democracy,
welfare,
work,
work,
leisure,
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 health,
education,
progress,
culture,
human rights,
Charter Dana,
solid,
responsibility.
Fill in the mortar. I raise the wall, and I'm the only one. I will be the one to knock it down.
Good day to our listeners on CJTR Community Radio at 91.3 FM, and welcome to everyone tuning in over the internet at cjtr.ca. Wherever you are, welcome to Human Rights Radio, hosted weekly by Amnesty International volunteers, who are a worldwide movement of people dedicated to the promotion of human rights and the safety of all human beings. We're building a world in which every person enjoys the rights included in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and other human rights standards. Our theme song is titled 30 Words, The Universal Declaration of Human Rights, written and performed by REM and a global collection of musicians. I'm Jim Hutchings, and joined by my co-host, Mona Hill.
Hello, everyone.
And today we honor women through the arts. Many of you have heard of or even experienced Eve as Ensler's live stage play, The Vagina Monologues, in a city or town where you live. The play is a representation of individual stories of women's experiences that relate to the vagina, whether they be wonderful, funny, sad, or horrible. The woman who has been instrumental in bringing it to our city for the past 5 years is Chelsea Real. Chelsea and two of the actresses, Sandra Henneke and Lonnie Elliott, will be performing on April 29th, are here to discuss the symbolism and power of the Vagina Monologues.
Welcome back, everyone. Thank you for being with us, and welcome, women, to Thank Human you. Rights Radio.
Thank you.
Chelsea, you look like you needed to say something there.
Yes, actually, the play is on April 26th and 27th.
Okay, correction, April 26th and 27th. And while you're at it, tell us where it's at and what time and everything.
Doors open at 6, show starts at 6:30, tickets are $15 per night or $25 for both nights.
Oh, that's a good deal.
Yes, and it's also at the Mackenzie Art Gallery.
And is this the first year that the Vagina Monologues has shown for two evenings?
Yes.
So you've come far with this, haven't you?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So while we're at it now, I want to do a little bit more of an introduction of our guests. Chelsea, as Jim mentioned in the opening, has been working with the Vagina Monologues for 5 years now, and she is from Nikanik First Nation, and you have spent a lot of years being active in the fight against violence against women, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
So if people want to know how vaginas relate to human rights, there's a big connection between women and human rights and their private parts. You've been organizing this and hiring the cast and finding the crew and everything sort of as an endeavor that you obviously have a passion for.
Yes, I have.
Yeah. you have an all Aboriginal cast in this production?
This year, yes.
Okay. But there is a transgender role too, isn't there? And I believe. Yeah. That's wonderful. And one of the things about having an all Aboriginal cast is it's important to you because women in the Aboriginal community are three times more likely to experience violence than women in non-Aboriginal communities.
Yes, that's right.
So why else is this important to you? Why is it such a passion, Chelsea?
I just wanted to let other women know that it does happen, and just to people, no matter who you are or where you come from, and want them to know that they can speak out about it, and it's not because of them.
So it's not something you should be blaming yourself for if there's violence, if you're suffering violence?
Yes.
And that's related in some of the monologues, is it?
It is, yes.
Okay. Let's also introduce our other two guests, Sandra Hennecue, who is from Attaqtaqoup First Nation. And Sandra writes a monthly column for Eagle Feather News, and you work for the federal government. You're a volunteer board member for the World Conference on Breast Cancer Foundation. And Sandra has a strong commitment to her community and to ending violence against women and girls. Welcome, Sandra.
Thank you.
Why is it important for you to be involved in the Vagina Monologues?
I spent 10 years in a very abusive relationship. It's taken me probably 20 years to kind of get to a point where I'm comfortable again. So I have four daughters and a granddaughter and nieces and friends that I find it's very important to get the message out that you aren't suffering alone. There's no need to be embarrassed, that you didn't do anything to have this happen to you. It's very near and dear to my heart, and given that Regina has had many Aboriginal women go missing off the streets as well, as something that I thought, if there's any way that I can help in bringing a voice to this production, to this issue, then that's why I'm here.
Wonderful. And I would also like to introduce Lonnie Elliott, right? And Lonnie, when not raising her four children, pursues her other passions, such as mentoring foster children and authoring a book detailing her personal triumph over domestic violence. An active member of her community, Lonnie believes that positive change starts on a personal level and incorporates this belief into all she does by leading by example. And why is it important to you to be a part of the Vagina Monologues?
The biggest reason that I got involved with the monologues was because, as a domestic violence survivor, I feel that it's important to build that community amongst other women who have gone through the same things that I have, and to help other women to understand that it doesn't matter where you come from, it doesn't matter what your cultural background is, your financial background, that sort of thing. It can happen to anyone. And at the same time, we all have the power to end violence against women simply by speaking out.
Right.
So, and this is what the monologues does. It gives women that sort of empowerment.
Okay, let's move on. Thank you for being here. We're actually very thrilled to have you. The Vagina Monologues was originally written a number of years ago by an author from the United States by the name of Eve Ensler, right? Can you give us a little bit of a background history, Chelsea, about the origins of it? If you can't, I have them here. Okay. All right. Well, it was written and performed originally by playwright and women's activist Eve Ensler, and it actually has been translated into more than 35 languages. In the play, actors reenact individual stories of women's experiences, and these are based on true experiences. And we were discussing before the show the fact that some of these experiences we can actually have some humor and we can laugh at. Some of the experiences are very, very tragic and very painful for the actresses to reenact. And some are hilarious. Some are very edgy. And I think not only for the performers, because I've actually had a couple of roles in the play myself in the past, but so I understand that connection between playing a role where you think this could have been me, or this was me, or I would like this to be me. And the audience also being maybe oftentimes shocked at some of the language that's used in the play. And I think, Lonnie, you talked about empowerment. I think it was you that mentioned mm-hmm. empowerment of women to be able to talk about their own bodies in the way that they feel comfortable in public. And that creates an opportunity to know that that you're valued, and for other people to understand that you value yourself as well. So what else have I got here? There, through the years, it's been an evolution of change throughout the monologues. There are some that have been kept in. There are some that are added to it. Can you give us some information about that, Chelsea?
Some of them are optional scripts, and some of them are mandatory. Like the optional one is the transgender one, and okay. we wanted to include that.
Okay. So, and how do you connect with becoming sort of a producer of this show? Do you have to connect with Eve Ensler? When you say some of them are mandatory, who regulates this? How does it work?
Well, she has, you know, people working for her that we talk to.
Okay.
So I don't actually talk to Eve Ensler herself.
Okay.
Although I would like to sometimes.
Well, maybe if you push hard enough.
Yes.
So what we're looking at here is, if this is a worldwide movement for women to be able to do this play and take on these roles in 35 different languages, she must have a lot of people working for her, I would assume. Mm-hmm. Because, so the permission has to go through her, does it?
Yes, it does. Right. We have to ask to put on the play.
All right. And at times, are there any specific reasons why you would choose certain times to do the play during the year? Because I know at times it's been done around Valentine's Day.
Yeah, it has to be done between February, March, or April, which is some of the regulations.
Okay.
And I think doing it at the end of April is just, it gives us all a little bit more time to get to know each other and bond and practice.
Okay. I have a review that was done, I guess, a couple of years ago by a young man by the name of Aaron Tatusis. And one of the things that he states in his review was, above all, the Vagina Monologues is a celebration. Even at its most ribald, this show's honesty and intensity demands that we take it seriously. If you're looking for something that tickles your fancy, okay, I'm not laughing at that, and now and then even stirs your soul, this is it. And it absolutely has been soul-stirring for, I think, everybody that sees it. And Jim's been to it in the past. Jim, what were your thoughts on seeing it from a male perspective, from your own perspective of being in the audience?
Oh, way to put me on the spot here.
Well, hey, I go through this every week.
I find it really informative and instructive to my own attitude towards all women, you know, women that are that I'm related to, women that I'm not related to, friends. I think that it's really worthwhile, and I would really recommend it to any man to come and see and experience.
I think that was a great one. Thank you. Every monologue in the Vagina Monologues relates to the vagina, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And you would think, well, a vagina is a vagina, but that's it. Why would there be any need for anything else? Can any of you talk to that?
Well, as an Aboriginal woman, I think it's very important that we bring some of the language that we use. For example, we don't call it a vagina, we call it a spoon. This can be really an important thing for people to understand, particularly, say, a police officer, for example, who might go out into the community and be investigating sexual assault, sexual abuse cases. And if he's not aware that that's a term that we use, I've heard them say, you know, well, there was no crime here, there was no sexual assault or abuse, they were talking about utensils. Now, that's just not right. I mean, you know, those are some of the things that, given where we are in Canada and the number of First Nations people here, it's very important that the people that are working with us and for us, whether it's within the police departments or in the health fields, that they understand that the language that we're using is a little bit different, but very key that we get these terms out there so that people have a true understanding of what's really going on within the communities.
I agree that that's so important. And people, maybe you're in my generation, probably grew up, I think the majority of women grew up not calling their body parts by their medical terminology names. And there's always been euphemisms. And in fact, there's a monologue in the play that talks about that, isn't there?
Yes, there is. I mean, there's many names, and I think that that was one of the things that Enzer found out through the interviews was the variety of terminology and terms that we've come up with ourselves as women to name our down their parts.
Right,
so
right.
It's very interesting and eye-opening, and I think it gives people, the audience, a perspective on not only the language, but the vast areas of humiliation and abuse that women have gone through and continue to go through, but how we are able to use humor, I guess, as a way of dealing with these emotions and using that same humor as a way of getting the audience interactive with us and understanding the issues.
I think that that's so important. When you talked about having all the different names and idioms for the vagina, one of the other things that Tatus has talked about was the fact that every monologue somehow relates to the vagina, whether it be through sex, through love, which some people don't realize can be two separate things, or one and the same, through rape, through menstruation, through mutilation, masturbation, birth, orgasm. The variety of names for the vagina are simply as a physical aspect of the body. I don't know of any other body part that has so many connotations and so many uses.
Absolutely.
Female vagina.
Well, you know, I know that there's a lot of names for our breasts as well, and not so many, I think, for the men.
Maybe not quite
so
many uses.
Yeah, not as many uses, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Lonnie, what's your perspective on the conversation so far, where we've been going with this?
Well, in terms of the word vagina and all the euphemisms that come along with it, the vagina itself is pretty much what defines you as a woman. Right? And even when you look at, you know, the laws that are in place right now that are actually in the process of being changed, right, that stipulate that in order for a woman in Canada to be defined as a woman, legally as a woman, she has to possess a vagina, right? So she has to have, for transgender women, has to have actually had surgery and gone through the process of having their penis cut off in order to be defined as a woman. Those are in the process of being changed right now. But it is in our society what defines us as women, and that's the social acceptance of what a woman is, right? So, but with all the euphemisms and the different terminology that's used to describe it, quite often those euphemisms are very derogatory.
Absolutely.
Right? Which says a lot about what people think about women and what we ourselves think about ourselves, right? So, in using those euphemisms, it's like accepting that this is what we are, whether it's derogatory, right? And I think in it's funny because we talked about taking back, you know, the words and reclamation, right?
Yes.
So
yeah.
I think in that aspect, it's also taking back our own power. The vagina is simply a body part. It
right.
does not embody who we are as people, as individuals. Right, so it may define us as women, right, but at the same time, it doesn't define who we are. So there are so many other aspects to us.
But yet society seems to think of it that way.
Yes.
Where do we suspect that all of this has come from initially? The concept of using the names of women's body parts to demean and use derogatory language against women and demean them and oppress them. And I might add that that's often used against males as well,
yes.
using the names of women's body parts to demean men,
yes.
well, by other men.
Yes.
Where do you think it started? I mean,
I hate to say it,
go
but
ahead.
With men.
Oh, okay.
Right. So.
which to me sounds as though what you're saying is women have been viewed as being inferior.
Yes,
and
for
weak.
A very long time.
Yes.
Yes.
For example, I just wanted people to have a sense. Like, Aboriginal women weren't allowed to vote until 1960. So, I mean, if that gives you any indication, we still have a long ways to go.
So as a human being, because Aboriginal women had a vagina, we could be saying they weren't allowed to vote. If that's who, if that's what defines women.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I think the right to vote for women was like 1914 mm-hmm. or something like that for women in general, but it came much later for Aboriginal women. So I guess we're really far behind, and it took that long for our vaginas to catch up, apparently.
Right on. Okay. Chelsea, mm-hmm. what would you like to say about this?
I think it's important for us to, you know, for our vaginas to catch up as us being a double minority, you know, being a woman and Aboriginal woman. I think it's very important for us to speak out about it and empower ourselves and show other women that it's okay to talk about it.
Good. You have brought a script with you today.
Yes.
Would you like to kind of, we've got 5 minutes left before the break. Mm-hmm. And our three women here are going to do a little bit from one of the scripts. And this is the introduction
yes.
to the monologues, isn't it?
Yes.
So I think we'd love to hear this.
Okay.
So if you want to take it away. And we'll just sort of cut you off at the neck here once we okay. get into no time left.
I bet you're worried. We were worried.
We were worried about vaginas.
We were worried what we would think about vaginas, and even more worried that we didn't think about them. We were worried about our own vaginas. They need a context of other vaginas, a community, a culture of vaginas. There's so much darkness and secrecy surrounding them, like the Bermuda Triangle. Nobody ever reports back from there. In the first place, it's not so easy to even find your vagina. Women go weeks, months, sometimes years without even looking at it. A high-powered businesswoman was interviewed, and she said she was too busy. She didn't have time. Looking at your vagina, she said, is a full day's work. You have to get down there in the front, on your back, in the front of a mirror that's standing on its own, full length preferred. You've got to get it in the perfect position with the perfect light, which then is shadowed somehow by the mirror and the angle you're at. You get all twisted up. You're arching your head, killing your back. You're exhausted by then. She said she didn't have time for that. She was too busy.
So there were vagina interviews, which became vagina monologues. Over 200 women were interviewed. Older women, young women, married women, lesbians, single women, college professors, actors, corporate professionals, sex workers, African American women, Asian American women, Hispanic women, Native American women, Caucasian women, Jewish women. Okay, at first women were reluctant to talk. They were a little shy. But once they got going, you couldn't stop them. Women secretly love to talk about their vaginas. They get very excited, mainly because no one's ever asked them before.
Let's just start with the word vagina. It sounds like an infection at best. Maybe a medical instrument. Hurry, nurse, bring me the vagina. 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 Doesn't matter how many times you say it. It sounds like a word you never want to say. It's a totally ridiculous, completely unsexy word. If you use it during sex, trying to be politically correct, darling, could you stroke my vagina? You kill the act right there.
We were worried about vaginas. That's what we call them and don't call them. In Great Neck, they call it pussycat. A woman said to her mother, don't wear panties underneath your pajamas, dear. You need to air out your pussycat.
In Westchester, they called it a pookie.
In New Jersey, a twat.
There's powder box, a poochie, a poopy, a peepee, a poopaloo, poonanny, pal, and peesh.
Toady, dee-dee, nishi, dignity, monkey box.
Coochie snorcher, cooter, labe.
Gladys Siegelman.
Va, wee-wee, horse spot, nappy dugout.
Mongo, mookie, a pajama, a fanny boo, a marshmallow.
A ghoulie, possible, tamale, totita. Connie.
A Mimi in Miami.
A split knish in Philadelphia.
Shmendi in the Bronx.
We are worried about our vaginas.
Thank you. And there's the introduction to the vagina monologues. And they will be coming up in Regina, April 20, go ahead.
26th and 27th. Doors open at 6:30 at the Mackenzie Art Gallery.
And we will be back after these messages.
Okay. control yourself, contain yourself, restrict yourself, restrain yourself, and always let tranquility be your goal. Control yourself, contain yourself, and if you can't, explain yourself and try to act agreeably on the whole. Life is much too short to spend it in a huff. Try to imitate the guy who laughs. When things get rough, control yourself, contain yourself. You can and still remain yourself if you will let serenity in your soul. You must control yourself, contain yourself, restrict yourself, to gain yourself control. I've got rhythm, I've got music, I've got my man. Control yourself, contain yourself, restrict yourself, restrain yourself, and always let tranquility be your goal. Life, shout it from the highest hill. If you can't explain yourself and try to act agreeably on the whole, life is much too short to spend it feeling sad. Try to imitate the guy who grins. When things look bad, I get weary and sick of trying. I'm tired of living and scared of dying. But oh man, control yourself, contain yourself, and if you can't, explain yourself. Will let serenity in your soul. You must control yourself, contain yourself, restrict yourself, restrain yourself, control yourself, restrict yourself.
And that was Cleo Lane, who was live at Carnegie Hall in 1973. So I think that's, what, about 39 years ago?
You do the math, Jim.
Yeah, something. And one of my favorite singers, and this was Mona's album from home. I think I kind of surprised her with it.
Yes, I was pleased you went and took my albums out and hunted through them. Yeah. So we're back on Human Rights Radio. Welcome back, everyone. Today we're talking about vaginas. We're talking about the Vagina Monologues, and we have Chelsea Real with us, the producer and coordinator and do-it-all woman that has been doing this for 5 years in Regina. And we have two of the actresses. We have Lonnie Elliott and Sandra Henicu. And we've been having some incredible conversation with them about vaginas and about women's empowerment and about violence and all the things that go along with vaginas. Before we get back into the conversation, I have some announcements to make on behalf of Amnesty International. And they are next Wednesday, April 25th at 7:30 p.m., we will be having our annual general meeting of the Regina Amnesty International Community Group. And this will be at the Legion on Cornwall Street, 1820 Cornwall. We will be hearing reports on the last year. We'll tell you all about the wonderful things that Amnesty Regina did last year. We will be electing our new executive. So if you're interested in joining our board, and we have a lot of fun, by the way, when we have our meetings. It's never boring, ever. Trust me, I don't know why they call it a board, because we're never bored. And we'll have some discussion about our plans for the upcoming year. This will be a great chance to become involved in our human rights work. We welcome and appreciate everyone's ideas, time, and experience, because we all know that we all have great skills and great strengths that we can make use of when it comes to human rights work. Everyone is welcome to join us. So that's our first announcement. And the second announcement is we as well, Amnesty does fundraising because we do not take any government funding at all. We remain as impartial as we can possibly be. So we have to do our own fundraising. And our steak night is coming up on Tuesday, May 15th. At 5 p.m., from any time from 5, I think, until about 7 or 8 o'clock, we will be selling tickets for the Bushwhacker Brew Pub in Regina. And it's a steak night, or there are veggie burgers available. And you can help the human rights that Amnesty International community groups undertakes by supporting our fun steak night fundraiser. So tickets are $25, and they include a 6-ounce sirloin steak, a Caesar salad, hand-cut fries, and Bushwhacker fries. I attest to the fact they are, I think, the best fries in the city. Garlic toast and a 12-ounce Bushwhacker beer, or you can get a soft drink or just plain water, anything else you want to drink. If you're not a meat eater, you can order a nice homemade veggie burger, fries, and Caesar salad. We have tickets available. You can call me at 586-1938, or you can call Gord at 585-0889 for tickets. That's our second announcement. And our third announcement is that every Tuesday night, this is a way that if you're interested in meeting some people from Amnesty International, having conversation, having a little coffee with them, getting to know us and what we do, you can join us at Atlantis Coffee Shop in Regina on Victoria Avenue every Tuesday night at 7 p.m., where we do letter writing. Somebody's always present there writing letters for Amnesty International appeals. So please feel welcome to join us for some letter writing. And that's the end of my announcements. Let's go back to the vagina monologues. earlier, Chelsea, you talked a little bit, this is before we started the show, you talked about additions to the monologues, that there are other scripts that have been added to it. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
One of the other scripts would be a memory monologue, a rant, and a prayer. And that's the script that we're going to be doing on Friday. There's authors such as Maya Angelou. And I'm not sure how long her script piece is, but it's not very long, and it's just, you know, and it's about their experiences or things that they've heard.
So is this something that's been sanctioned by Eve Ensler as well? Okay,
yes,
so these are welcome additions then.
Yeah.
So you can submit scripts if you have written your own for approval sort of thing.
Sure, yeah,
if
she's looking for them.
Wow. And Maya Angelou, of course, is a very famous Afro-American author and poet. Well, poet mostly, yes.
And the thing about a memory, a monologue, a rant, and a prayer is that men can be involved with it as well.
Oh.
We have a couple of pieces that there's men are going to be coming to read. The one is, he grew up in a house full of women and every single one of them were abused.
Okay.
So he's talking about his experience from the women around him.
Oh, that should be fascinating. I think it'd be really interesting to see. And Lonnie, we were talking about the fact that you're writing a book about your life experiences.
Tell us
a little bit about that.
I'm in the process of writing a book about my personal story about surviving domestic violence. Several years ago, my husband actually attempted to kill me and broke my legs with a baseball bat. And I survived. I have two sons, and I knew that in order for my sons to grow up healthy, that was a relationship that I needed to put behind me. But I also needed to figure out a way to put the violence behind me as well. And part of my own empowerment was telling my story and writing the book and talking to other women about violence and learning how to empower other women. So, and that's the purpose behind the book, is to help people to understand domestic violence, to understand the cycle, and to help them to understand that it really doesn't matter what your educational background, your financial background, your cultural background is. It can happen to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it happens so subtly that we don't realize it's happening until we look back on it and look back at the things that have happened in that relationship. So the book itself is I'm hoping to have it finished by the end of December, but I'm also in the process of writing a play as well called Pieces of Me. And the play itself involves three characters, and it starts with one singular character, which is myself, and the two other characters are the voices inside my head and what you hear as you're experiencing domestic violence and going through that cycle. And one is the negative, what you hear and how the negative influences you. And the other voice is the voice of your real self, your powerful self, attempting to get out. So it's how and how it evolves is with the one individual splitting into the three individuals, and then how eventually at the end surviving and how they come together to create a much stronger person.
The whole woman.
Yes.
Yes. That sounds absolutely fascinating. What do you see as the future for having this play developed into a stage, a format here in Regina?
Well, I'm hoping that if I can have the play done by next year, that I can find someone to perform it. And I highly doubt that I'll be able to do it myself, simply right. because it is something that is so emotionally, you know, meaningful to me. But at the same time, I don't know whether or not I could go on stage
right.
and perform it and not have that breakdown mm-hmm. of emotion.
Right.
Because it does bring back, a lot of memories and that yeah. sort of thing. So,
and that's something that's so close to home for the actresses who are in the Vagina Monologues as well.
Yes.
Is that many of the women who do these roles, perform these roles, have experienced similar things mm-hmm. to what the roles talk about. And that's, we talked about the one about my village.
Yes.
About the young woman in, was it Croatia
Kosovo.
Or Bosnia? Kosovo.
Kosovo.
Yes. Sandra, did you say that you're performing that one?
No, I have read it, but no, I'm performing The Flood, which is based on the story of a 72-year-old woman and her first sexual experience. And it turned out not to be a good one. That really affected her throughout her life and her sexuality and all things related to her vagina.
Okay. Well, and what role are you performing, Lonnie?
I'm actually, for the Vagina Monologues, I'm going to be doing the introductions to okay. all the different stories. Mm-hmm. I will be performing on the second night, and it will be the role that I'm performing is called The Kiss,
mm-hmm.
The First Kiss. And it's about a young girl, a very young girl, a child, at summer camp, who is actually sexually assaulted at summer camp,
okay.
and how it's affected her.
Okay. Chelsea, what would you like the listening audience to know? When we talk about this show being educational as well, about the different roles that there are in the Vagina Monologues. I mean, we've sort of been talking about some of them refer to violent episodes, refer to negativity and women's experiences with that negative treatment and with negative experiences, but we actually know that there are going to be some roles where there's going to be a lot of laughter as well. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, one of the funny ones is the girl who liked to make vaginas happy. It's about the different moans that people have or don't have, I guess, which would be the wasp moan.
Uh-huh. It's hilarious.
It's pretty graphic. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
But it is very funny. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's got its ups and downs. It's a mm-hmm. one roller coaster of an emotional night.
Which is very indicative of women's lives, isn't it?
Yes,
oh, yeah.
it is.
Of the mm-hmm. sex lives of women, of giving birth lives of women, of all those different aspects of our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what were you going to say, Sandra?
I just love to hear the laughter that comes with it as well, because, some of the parts are very dark, but it's nice to have this release of laughter, you know, when Mona the Moaner, as I call her, when she comes in, I mean, you can't help but laugh. I mean, I'm laughing till my belly hurt, my cheeks hurt, and there's tears running down my eyes. So it's a very healing piece, as they all are. It's just, for me, I love the laughter, and I think it just helps people digest to their uncomfortableness, and you physically are able to release some of this negativity within you.
Right. And it's funny you should mention Mona the Moaner, because I was Mona the Moaner at one point. I had that role a few years ago back at the university.
I was so petrified that that role would come to me. I was like, I'm having enough trouble reading this one. I don't know that I can come up with all these sounds that Mona makes. So.
Well, it was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Quite frankly. Yeah. The freedom to be able to do this in public, in the format of a stage play, that's the only word I could come up with such incredible freedom, because in general, women are not raised to have that freedom to talk about themselves that way, to express themselves that way. I remember when my children were little, every once in a while, someone would, one time standing in the kitchen and I was cooking supper. My kids were around the table like any, you know, young mom and making noise and chatting, and somebody brought up something about sex and I responded, and one of my children said, Mom, why is it when you talk about sex you make it sound like it's so much fun? And I said, because it is.
Well, I mean, that's something that we weren't taught. I mean,
right, exactly.
Not only did you not talk about it, but I thought if I even overheard stuff, I mean, sex wasn't something that was to be enjoyed, not by women for sure. I mean, you were not allowed to enjoy this, not allowed to masturbate or touch yourself. You know, it was considered a bad thing. So I love that this play brings all of those things to light and letting people know that the things that we're going through our sexuality, masturbation or whatever those things are, I mean, it's natural and it's normal and there's nothing wrong with touching yourself.
Right.
And there's also the word vagina. Mm-hmm. Is a lot of people have difficulty saying it or even accepting it. Whereas, you know, we were doing a call for it and we weren't allowed to put the word vagina on the piece of paper. Some people were like, well, I don't like it. I find it offensive.
And where was this that you weren't allowed to use it?
It was at the university.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, we wanted to put the posters up in the university, and we were doing a call for actors for the vagina monologues, and mm-hmm. and we're asked not to put the word on the piece of paper. Yeah.
It's V-Day.
V-Day. Yeah.
V-Day.
They thought it was vulgar, so it's like, well, I can't say hand. It's a body part. You know, what's wrong with that?
And this leads back to the conversation we had before the break, that the word vagina, as a body part of a woman, is considered vulgar. Mm-hmm. It goes back to the disempowerment of women, degradation of women, by the fact that you can't say their body part with someone not thinking that it's dirty or vulgar. And that's disgusting.
I
to have to live like
you.
This. Well, to have to grow up from the time you're a little girl to feel that way is absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, it's like some people find the word offensive, and it's like, well, what I find offensive is a 16-year-old girl getting raped because she's a girl.
Yes.
Well, sorry, you know, this is what I believe in, this is what I want to do. If you can't accept it.
I mean, given right now, I mean, with the news and stuff, we're hearing about the sexual abuses that went on in the residential schools. I mean, those were young children, young women. They're still dealing with the emotions of that, and it now being brought to the forefront again, I think it's just opening up the old wounds. So I think this is a very good time to have a production done with Aboriginal women to bring to light some more and to give a voice where there isn't one right now. So we're totally comfortable talking about our vaginas or our spoons or whatever we call them. So I think we're a good group of women that will help bring this message forward that, you know, we are going to end violence against women. This has to stop. It's not acceptable in any way, shape, or form on any country, in any house, anywhere. It's not acceptable.
Mm-hmm. I think the word about the show is, you know, being performed in Regina is, you know, it's getting out there because we were asked to go to Fort Capel and in Saskatoon.
Oh, really?
Yes, yeah. We've been invited to go.
Oh, and is this the first year that's happened?
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
Well, as mentioned in my little bio, here's my plug, Johnny, Eagle Feather News, I write a column for them, and he allowed me to put vagina in print, so I was able to write about the show, the upcoming show, and what it's all about. A lot of men, I think, are afraid to go because they think we're just going to sit around like we're at a kitchen table talking about our vaginas. No. But really, the message is about ending violence, you know, against women and girls. So I tell them to come because there's women out there that you love, your mother, your grandmother, your wife, your sister, your daughter. This issue affects everybody, not just women, but the men who love them as well.
Yes. Young Aaron Tatusa said almost exactly the same thing in his review when he reviewed the show, Chelsea. He said, women are a part of this world, too. They should be protected, not violated, not exploited.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's talking about it in a good way without man-hating.
I think that's probably been a part of the issue in the past as well. I think a lot of men have felt it. They really didn't want to go because there would be a lot of man bashing.
No, there's none of that.
And there isn't.
I think what Chelsea's really brought to it this time is we have vagina warriors, which are men.
Yes.
Maybe Chelsea could bring some more to that.
Oh, please do.
Yes, well, we asked a few men a couple questions about why it's important for, you know, to protect women, what's so important about women, you know, who are the influential women in your life. And we also asked them a couple of questions that I didn't tell them what it was beforehand. It said, if they had a vagina, what would it wear? And all of them were floored. They didn't know what to say. And also, like, if you had a vagina, what would it say?
Okay.
You know, and it's something fun, you know, to lighten up the interview. And it's a video. It's going to be showed before both the plays.
Okay.
And we asked Aboriginal men, because the stereotype of Aboriginal men are woman beaters or, you know, so these are positive role models in our society.
We wanted to give Aboriginal men, first of all, the idea that, that violence against women isn't just a women's issue. It's a human issue. Mm-hmm. Right, but at the same time, we also wanted to give these men a voice and say, hey, you know what? We aren't the stereotype. We are men in your community. We are successful. We are members of your community, and we are positive role models. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that's what this video does in inviting our vagina warriors to come forward and speak as well. Mm-hmm.
I'm floored. I think this is wonderful. It's evolved so incredibly. The work that you've done on this is just amazing. And we're really thrilled to have you on the show.
Thank you.
Well, how much time do we have left, Jim? 5 minutes. Okay. I'm going to give it to you for 5 minutes. Tell us everything you want to tell us about the vagina monologues and coming out and everything that's important to you and why people should show up.
Well, I believe, you know, that people should show up because it's such an important issue for all people. Like Lonnie said, you know, we have a human right. This is a human rights issue for our children, for my daughters, for my granddaughters, for your children. I mean, it's important that we allow ourselves to be women and that's okay to go out and to just be a woman and feel safe in the environment. Like, that is a right that we all are entitled to. So that's the biggest reason for me. And I think people should come out because it's great fun. And you're never going to hear the word vagina that many times without crying.
Probably not. Yeah.
Probably not, no.
Without laughing.
Yeah. And we'd like to encourage men to come out and watch the show. And we have Michelle Thrush from Blackstone coming in as well.
Oh, is that right?
Yep.
Is she going to be performing?
Yeah, she's going to be doing the Crooked Braid.
The Crooked Braid. Could you speak to that just for a minute or two before we leave? That was one of my favorite roles. I didn't play it, but it's so incredibly powerful.
Yeah, it's about a woman. She she wants to find out if her husband is cheating on her. So she braids his hair really crooked, and he comes home with it nice and straight, which shows that his girlfriend or other woman braids it nicely for him.
It's from the Crooked Braid is from the Aboriginal woman's perspective, but it's her experience with domestic violence. And the very first time that I heard that one, it was very, very powerful for me, because everything that was depicted in that particular piece was everything that I had experienced. So it was really hard for me to sit there and to listen to it and not to break down on that stage. But at the same time, it's also very poignant, because it allows people to see that you know, it isn't just one person's experience. There are so many of us out there who go through the same thing, and we're not alone. You know,
and it's going on right now as we sit on the radio.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the theme for this year's Vagina Monologues is breaking the cycle of silence. We want women to talk about it, you know, encourage them to help. We're here to help them.
We shouldn't have to be silent. No one should have to be silent again.
No.
And Amnesty International will also be there. We will have a table.
Woohoo!
And petitions.
Yes.
Yes. Petitions related to violence against women in various countries and against our own Native sisters here in Canada, and missing and murdered Aboriginal women are very well represented in these petitions. So as another reason for coming out is to come to our table. I'll be there. You can come and meet me. If you don't know me already, a lot of our listeners know me, but I'll be there, and you can come and meet me, and we'll have a chat and enjoy the show. And take it away. We've got 2 minutes left. Anything else you'd like to say?
It's going to be a fun night. Both of them are going to be fun, and all the proceeds are going to Sophia House.
Oh, that's important, too. Yes. 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 Okay. Yeah. Yeah. All the proceeds every year go to a different charity, right? A women's charity of some sort, right?
Yeah. And this year we've selected Sophia House simply because they do some very important work within our community.
Right.
Wonderful. So with helping other women break that cycle of violence.
So viva la balva, ladies.
Thank you, women. Thank you for being here. Applause.
Thank you.
Thank you
for having us, Mona.
All right, take it away, Jim.
Okay. As we close this week's Human Rights Radio on CJTR Community Radio, we hope you've enjoyed listening to and have learned something new about human rights for all people. For info on past and upcoming shows with links to human rights actions and information, go to amnestysaskatchewan.ca. Peter Benenson, the founder of Amnesty International, often said, "It's better to light a candle of hope than to curse the darkness."